You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I'm going to bring on a friend of mine here in just a moment. Most of y'all have heard by now, I hope, about this tragic tornadoes that swept across Arkansas and Kentucky especially. And it turns out that it may have been the longest long-track tornado in recorded history. What we're looking at right now is over 200 miles straight of a tornado wreaking devastation. And right now, the governor of Kentucky is saying that we're looking at epic levels of destruction of property, but we're also seeing upwards of 80 to 90, maybe over 100 people that have been killed in these devastating tornadoes. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey issued a statement saying that Alabama's praying for all those who are lost and impacted by the devastating tornadoes across the Mid-South and standing ready to help in whatever way we can. Well, Alabama's been through it before. We know what it's like, 2011 being the most recent example of long-track tornado devastation. Well, a friend of mine, who I served with in the Guard, just an amazing guy, retired Colonel Jim Hawkins, retired in 2017. He's now the senior principal and manager for Dynamis, Inc., which is here as a defense contractor in the Huntsville area. He's had over 30 years of leadership in emergency management, homeland security, national defense. And while he served in the National Guard, his terminal assignment, his last assignment basically, was as the Director of Military Support for the Alabama National Guard in Montgomery, in which he coordinated and oversaw civil support operations for the entire Alabama National Guard. He's got extensive experience, folks. Served in over 40 disaster response operations, including hurricanes, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, the 2011 tornadoes, and he's nationally recognized as an authority on what we call defense support to civil authorities. So my friend, retired Colonel Jim Hawkins, coming on right now. Hey, Jim, how you doing, bud?
I'm great, Phil. How are you today?
I'm good, man. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and thanks for that terrific intro.
Well, you earned it. What'd you have? How many, 20-plus years, I guess, right? 30 years? How long did you have in?
I did 34 total.
So. 34, man. Well, and thank you for your service, my friend. And, I've been there back when you were with the Domestic Operations Group. I got some interaction with you some here, there, and was just so impressed with what you brought to bear. But you've got legacy experience, but you've really seen the level of coordination that has to take place, and especially in the epic aftermath of mass casualty, mass destruction events like what we're seeing right now in Kentucky. And, you know, it just looks like it's on what I keep calling an epic scale. But give me some of your thoughts right now. I mean, in the aftermath right now, what's the first thing you'd be doing if you were still a green suitor having to bring the coordinations to bear?
Sure. Yeah, well, it's very difficult to watch these kind of things on television and on the Internet now, you know, now that that's not my role. I do different things for Dynamis. But certainly, my heart goes out to all the survivors of that event and all of those responders, including no doubt the Guard and a number of those states. So, when a big event like that that hits, so often they hit at night, and of course, when it's severe weather, there's always a delay in figuring out exactly how bad a situation you've got. So they had some notice that severe weather was coming in, much like we did in 2011 on April 27th. So, you know, the opening stages, you know, the op centers the operations centers are functioning, and they're trying to gather information, certainly at the State Emergency Management Agency and likely the National Guard and other state agencies like the state police and places like Kentucky. And as the gravity of the event unfolds, those requests will begin coming in for state support. So the way the response system works in the United States is, you know, you respond with your local responders go in first, right? Your first responders, your local fire and police and EMS. And as they get the initial assessments and realize that it's going to exceed their capacity, they begin to coordinate with their county emergency management agencies to request support from the state. So at this time, for instance, in 2011, we were getting deluged with requests from the State Emergency Management Agency to bring National Guard responders and capabilities to assist the other state agencies that are assisting those local agencies. So you really see a whole of government response in events of this magnitude.
Well, in this case too, Jim, I'll just sort of feed things out there, but never having done it at the level you did. I mean, I remember being a battalion commander in the National Guard, and I would have to stand up, you know, certain elements of my battalion, whether it be my support company, or sometimes we stood up what I called my dirty 30. I would have the 30 people who live closest to the armory that were the first called, and they would be get there as quick as possible. But all said and done, at the state level where you were coordinating all the interagency efforts, you actually had a command center. Am I correct? And we would stand that up, and that
yes.
Doc or that joint operations center would have representatives of those different agencies that were all taking their phone calls and coordinating with each other on the ground. Am I right?
So we would be in a couple of different op centers. We had our own joint operations center, which we would have liaisons from other agencies sometimes. The primary interagency interface would be at the State Emergency Operations Center at the State EMA, and we would have a large liaison cell there coordinating. And as those requests would come in, and frequently keep in mind, you know, that for these local communities that were struck, you know, depending on the prosperity of the county, the population of the county, you know, what the resources are, they're going to have pretty dramatically different emergency management capabilities. You know, you look at a hurricane-prone county like Mobile or Baldwin County in Alabama, they have very well-equipped operations centers, lots of former military, lots of professional emergency managers. You know, some of these rural counties that take these tornado strikes, you might not even have a full-time ops center. And so they're really struggling quickly to gain situational awareness, see what's going on, and they're screaming for help. And a lot of times, it's not real focused. I mean, we would get requests sometimes that simply said, send the National Guard. And I was like, well, you know, all 13,000 of us, or, you know, can you narrow that down? And you'd have to reach out to them, understanding that they're overwhelmed, understanding that they're directly impacted, their community's one that's hurting. So you'd want to be super sensitive and very timely. But part of being timely was getting them the right help. So we'd reach out to them or often send someone there in person and say, hey, tell me your problem. What is the issue you've got? And let us send the right package to you to make sure we get the right thing. Because if we send you, you know, 100 infantrymen, and what you really need is transportation support, you know, we've sent you the wrong thing. If we send you a bunch of military police and what you actually need is communication support, we sent you the wrong thing. So you would very quickly try to figure out exactly what the need was. And sometimes you got that from the local responders, and sometimes it was your sister state agencies that got there first. And sometimes, you know, in the case of like, say, Hackleburg in Alabama, which was essentially completely destroyed, it was some of everything, because everything there was gone. And this event in Tennessee, in Kentucky, Illinois, you know, particularly destructive because it was those long track tornadoes. And those are the ones that really, really do extensive damage for a long period of time. And I understand they haven't figured out what EF size these were yet, but they were certainly large and they were on the ground for a long time. So you're talking about devastation that's going to easily overwhelm the locals and definitely require significant support from the state.
Well, I think that's true. And just this morning, Governor Beshears of Kentucky gave what became a very emotional a press conference. You know, all party politics aside, I think he's doing all that he can to bring confidence to the situation, and leadership matters in a situation like this too. I mean, it matters to have the ability to have someone step in and not only provide the reassuring word, but to lead the charge in a sense, and to rally the troops and to get things moving. But Jim, let me ask you this,
so
Jim.
Important.
We've got a short break to take here in just a minute. And when we get back from that break, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what it means to put the boots on the ground. So you had your main jock, your joint operations center in Montgomery or at FEMA or wherever it may be. But then you also sometimes would set up shop basically on the ground in the middle of the mess. And I want to hear more about that
Absolutely.
When we get back. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, great. Folks. We're with Colonel Jim Hawkins, pretty much an expert in what it takes to coordinate interagency effort in the wake of massive natural disasters. And we get back with him, we'll talk about it some more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And we'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, going back to the phones now with my friend, Colonel Jim Hawkins. Glad to know Jim, just enjoy his company, but also this is a perfect time to hear from him because he is an expert in the coordinations of interagencies for disaster recovery and disaster relief. Jim, I know right now we're in basically we're still in life saving and sustaining mode. Apparently, we're not just in it's search and rescue still as opposed to search and recovery. And you've seen these cells have to set up on the ground before and coordinate at the local level. What's it like dropping down in the middle of that devastation and having to set up shop in such a way that coordinates the effort boots on the ground?
Oh, sure. So. They're definitely still in the response phase here. Recovery is still down the road. But, when you start to get those state resources in, the important thing to remember is the locals are already responding. And they're already, on mission, to use terminology from mine and yours past careers. But, several years ago, many years ago now in the United States, they established the National Incident Management System. That everybody adopted. Every agency, every level, everybody manages events using NIMS, the National Incident Management System, and they'll follow the incident command system out of that to establish command and control, essentially, of an incident. So as soon as those local agencies began responding, very quickly, whoever the lead agency was, usually it's the fire chief in these cases, would have established an incident command post. So as those state resources feed in, they're going to link up with the incident commander and those folks in the incident command post. And for the Guard, it's important to remember that we're never in charge. Doesn't matter how big the disaster is, doesn't matter who all is involved, we're always in a support role. And it was very important for us to get the right help there and get it the right size. And so the size of element, some responses were just, half a dozen or a dozen specialists. April 2011, we had nearly 3,000 soldiers and airmen spread across the state. But they're going to go into that site. They're going to establish their own area to operate from. They're going to check in with that incident commander and start providing support there on the scene. And they're going to be conducting whatever the state EMA sent them there to do. So they're going to roll in and say, hey, Fire Chief, Smith, I'm here from the National Guard. The stadium may send me here to do these three things. Where do we plug in? What else do you need from us? And it's really a very adaptive situation. It requires a lot of flexibility, adaptability. It really is not unlike a large-scale event like this. Is really not unlike the conflicts that we went through in Iraq and Afghanistan. You've got, there's no front line. The challenge is all around you. You've got an impacted local population. You've got, instead of coalition partners, you've got interagency partners. Instead of, non-government organizations, you've got what we call volunteer organizations, active disasters. You've got VOADs in your operational space. So it's an asymmetric response area with a lot of different threats and challenges, including, diplomatic challenges, dealing with local governments. So it takes a careful touch. At the same time, you're wielding a big hammer to get things done. Curiously, the really long adventure in Afghanistan and Iraq actually made the Guard better at something we were already really good at, which is responding to these kind of threats. And all the ones, and I did about 40, I was always so impressed, too, with those responders that were already there, whether they were the local cops, local fire department, local EMS, or their state equivalents. So you're falling in on a great team in a tough time, and you really do see people pull together. And it's really one of the few bright spots in what's always a tragic situation is to see people, coming together like that.
I totally agree, and I've seen it, as a state senator, too. My district got hit 2011, just right around my district. My district was sort of like an oasis, but just literally just across the line, I would go and help in some, you know, disaster recovery. But then also in 2017, I think it was, we had a massive short track tornado that came through part of my community, and I toured Governor Ivey through some of the devastation and setting up those. You know, one of the things that strikes me, and we got about a minute and a half after this, Jim, just keep that in mind. But when these local command centers are being stood up, it's very common, I know, to see volunteers just show up and start doing things, but would you recommend that they always stop in with the command center and say, where do you need me? Because I think sometimes Absolutely. They can also get out there and get a little too busy in the wrong places, and they can be better used somewhere else.
Absolutely. No, it's critical that they do that. And most organizations, most agencies will establish some type of reception center for volunteers. It's very critical they get credentialed because there's always some bad actors out there. You could be helping in a place where you're not needed as bad as somewhere else. So you always want to go in and get vetted and get assigned something to do. You know, I remember seeing Auburn students on the streets of Tuscaloosa in 2011. Amazing. I remember being in Hackleburg and seeing Amish that had come down from Pennsylvania that were there helping. But in all those places, you had a volunteer center where you went in, you checked in, you got some form of credential, and they gave you sort of a priority of work to make sure that your help is the most effective that it can be.
Well, you bring a lot of clarity and a lot of experience to the discussion. And, you know, as this thing develops, Jim, just know that I might holler at you or at least get some input from you at some point in the near future. But right now, thank you for your years of service. Thank you for your service not only overseas, but also in over 40 disaster events in helping coordinate the relief to our state. We appreciate you, and thanks for what you do.
Well, it's an honor. It's my honor, and thanks for your service, and thanks for having me on today, Phil.
Yeah, bro. All right. You take care. All right, folks, that was retired Colonel, Army Colonel Jim Hawkins, who now, having retired from the military full-time, is working with Dynamis, Inc. right here in the Huntsville area, and who just really brings a wealth of experience. I mean, I hope you could catch the way he was slinging the lingo, because he knows what he's talking about, because he's been there. Can you imagine over 40 natural and man-made disasters that he has helped coordinate the relief for? He became one of the most knowledgeable individuals nationwide. He's called upon to teach at the War College, the Air War College, and others. That's my friend, Jim Hawkins. All right, folks, we're going to continue that theme for a few minutes. I'll update you on some things you might want to know about what's happening in Kentucky. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.